Fading Echoes by Valithia. Read for you by Flamingwell. This Guardian fanwork is rated teen and up, and no archive warnings apply. Additional tags include implied referenced rape non-con. It's blink and you'll miss it, but it is there. Abuse of a minor. Mind control. Mind manipulation. Slavery. Canon typical devouring. Angst. Hurt no comfort. Twin bond. Ye old Haixing era. Yitzhen deserved better. But this is not the story where he gets it. When he comes to, the man is still there, but Gugu isn't.
Your Gugu went and left you behind, the man says, kneeling down. He expressly told me to continue to educate you for him. And he laughs, like what he's saying is true, when he can feel. The bond is dim, like it always is when one of them is asleep, although it's rare, so rare that he's the one awake while Gugu sleeps. But the echoes remain, glimmers of Gugu's last feelings, desperation, rage, fear for his deity.
Liar, he spits. Gugu would never abandon him. He can feel it.
And the man's face blackens into a scowl.
He said you were stupid, useless.
The man snarls, raising his hand and pain in his face, his cheek. And he hits the ground, sprawling, breath wheezing out as he coughs. The man had hit him. And he wants Gugu, needs.
Wake up!
He thinks desperately at the corner of his mind where Gugu dwells.
Gugu, wake up!
And then the man is looming over him, fingers digging in hard against his bruised cheek as his face is forcefully turned.
Your Gugu abandoned you!
The man tells him, half in focus, like his ears aren't quite working, or like his words are skipping his ears entirely to echo inside his head, and he feels.
Gugu abandoned me, he says,
and it's true, isn't it?
Gugu isn't here. So it must be.
Gugu left him, and now he's alone. At the camp, he is given tasks. Fetch wood, carry water, wash blood from clothes and leather and fur. And as the light fades, tend to the fires that burn throughout the camp.
Gugu abandoned me,
as he drags a fallen branch through the underbrush, staggering every time it hits an obstacle.
Gugu didn't want me,
as he trudges to the river to fetch another bucket of water.
Gugu left me. Never.
Gugu's voice shatters through his head, and his knees give out. He drops onto the sand, bucket landing heavily on its side, the water he'd painstakingly carried halfway back to camp instantly lost, soaked into the ground.
Didi,
Gugu sends, and he feels.
Guga, he thinks. And of course Guga didn't abandon him. He can feel him in the corner of his mind, that place of trust and safety. He will always have him. Guga would never. Didi, run! Guga sends, and he scrambles to his feet and bolts.
I'll always find you, the man says, fingers clamped so hard around his wrist as he all but drags him that he's sure to have bruises. You're so useless, your guh abandoned you, but I'll make something of you yet.
Guga would never abandon me, he spits, stumbling over the rocky ground, and the man actually pauses.
Now why would you think that? He says, and yanks at his wrist, forcing him uncomfortably up onto his toes. His shoulder aches like his whole arm is going to tear off.
He abandoned you,
the man says, and the words echo through him, muffling everything else in his head. Swiftly fading echoes of desperation, surely unimportant. He abandoned me, he repeats dully, tongue thick in his mouth, and follows the man back to camp. He doesn't have a name. They call him stupid, useless, slow, weak. Once he was Didi, but Guga had abandoned him, sold him into the care of this man, and now he's alone. They're right, of course. He is useless, weak. He coughs all the time, and his head is almost always aching. He wouldn't feel like this if he were stronger. He's at the river, scrubbing blood from Lao Ban's armor, when pain flares sharp through his temple. He drops the brush, clutching at his head. Didi! Guga's voice thunders through his head, and he curls in a ball, wheezing. It hurts, it hurts! Didi! Guga sends again, softer, and he can feel him. Love and fear and desperation. Where are you? And I can't find you. And he took you from me. Guga, he thinks. Guga, help me.
Useless, Lao Ban bellows, and he tries to uncurl.
His lungs have other ideas, choking on his next inhale, and he coughs, coughs.
Not even finished yet? Lao Ban scoffs. No wonder your guh left you behind.
He gasps for air, and then Lao Ban's hands are on him, hauling him up. His head spins. He wakes with a face full of dirt. He's back at the camp, dumped on the outer edges, nowhere near the threadbare blanket Lao Ban gave him.
More than a useless whelp like you deserves, he'd said, laughing,
and he grits his teeth, clambers to his feet.
Didi, where are you?
Guga sends. His presence is thin, thready and faint.
I'll come for you.
I don't know, he thinks. In the camp.
Can you see the stars?
Guga sends.
Look for the Princess of Heaven.
He remembers the stories Guga used to tell when they were clutched, shivering and close at night, waiting for sleep to find them, about the court of the Celestial Emperor and how to find North in case they were ever separated. I see it, he says, backing away from the flickering light of the fires. He can hear shouts, jeers, barks of laughter. Hopefully, Lo Bun and the other men are sufficiently occupied. He steps over the last tent rope, sidles into the underbrush, and runs. This time, it takes Lo Bun until morning to find him. He's slow, tired, exhausted from walking all night, trudging step after step in every effort to put more distance between him and the camp. Sleep soon, Didi, Guga is urging him. Find somewhere hidden and sheltered.
Stupid! Lo Bun bellows, and he whips around, panic flooding through him. Lo Bun is here, just coming over the ridge he'd spent hours clambering up in the dark, and he breaks into a run, heart pounding in his chest. Away! He needs to get away! He can't! Not again! Not...
Didi!
Guga is saying, but he can barely hear him over the thunder of his heart, shoving past a low-hanging branch, ducking around a jagged boulder. His foot catches, and he's falling. And then he hits the ground, hard, palms and knees stinging. He gasps in a breath, scrambles up. Something yanks him back by the hair, tearing in his scalp, and Lo Bun spins him around, slams him into the nearest tree. Maybe I should just kill you. Do your brother a favor. Lo Bun snarls. He didn't care about you at all. Sold you without a second thought.
No,
Guga says, so forceful that his own lips shape the word without conscious thought.
What was that?
Lo Bun says, shaking him, and he bares his teeth, looks up.
Guga didn't sell me,
he says, and watches Lo Bun's eyes narrow.
How are you doing that?
He says, and lifts his free hand so casually that he's not expecting it at all when Lo Bun slaps him, bouncing his head off of the tree. He gasps, scattered.
No, no, Didi!
Guga shouts in his mind, but Lo Bun's other hand is coming up, wisps of dark energy following.
Your Guga abandoned you,
Lo Bun says, and he blinks, everything else fading out, unimportant. Of course Guga abandoned him. Why would he stay? He's slow, weak, useless. He abandoned me, he repeats, and doesn't resist when Lo Bun drags him away.
Tell me where you were going.
Away, Lo Bun. A slap, snapping his head to the side.
Away where?
North, Lo Bun.
Why north?
Guga said I should go north and he would find me, Lo Bun.
Your Guga said that, did he? Tell me how he spoke with you.
In my mind, Lo Bun.
Do you hear him all the time?
No, Lo Bun.
Can you hear him now?
No, Lo Bun.
Do you want to hear him?
No, Lo Bun.
Tell me why.
Gugu abandoned me. I don't want to hear him anymore.
If you don't want to hear him,
break the connection.
Yes, Lo Bun.
The bond snaps, but not without cost. A final parting gift of emotion from his Gugu. Pain, fear, desolation. It's exactly what he wants. He hates Gugu for leaving him, saying he'll always be there and then betraying him. This time, he's the one leaving Gugu. See how he feels, how much he likes being abandoned. He'll find him eventually. If he keeps serving Lo Bun, he's bound to get stronger, and then one day he'll be the one standing over Gugu, holding the knife. One day, his Gugu will be his alone to kill. He doesn't get stronger. He gets taller, smarter, but Lo Bun refuses to teach him to fight. And maybe he is useless, weak, like Lo Bun says, still can't go even half a day without coughing. But he's got eyes. He can watch the others fight from behind the mask he now wears, watch them throw each other into the dirt and laugh, and practice quietly by himself at the river while the laundry dries. After all, once he's found Gugu, once he has him at his mercy, he needs to be able to kill him. Eventually, he gains an actual name. Yetsun, said at first in mocking tones, derision at his performance at his new duties. But Yetsun doesn't care how they say his name. Not yet. He's still waiting, still planning, because revenge against Gugu comes first, always. But after that? After he's had Gugu at his feet, bleeding and broken until Yetsun is finally satisfied. Then it will be time for the rest of them. Yetsun comes up with plan after plan, even steals the Alliance's precious hallows, and still Lo Bun ridicules him, hits him. Yetsun knows Gugu abandoned him long ago, but Gugu is his to kill, and when Lo Bun oversteps, Lo Bun's hand around his throat hurts, and Yetsun can't breathe, and Lo Bun doesn't stop and doesn't stop, and this can't be how it ends. Yetsun hasn't. He can't. Something snaps in his brain, and Yetsun screams, and dark energy curls, thick and heavy in his mouth, his throat, and Yetsun breathes in. Huddled on the ground, Lo Bun's rebels, his rebels, kneeling before him, looking at the dark energy dancing around his fingers, the dark energy that had been denied him so long. Never again will Lo Bun call him stupid, useless, weak. Yetsun's power has awakened, and he's anything but weak. Lopun will never lay a hand on him again. Dark energy churns inside him, assimilating with his own, and Yetsun has everything he needs. Power, the Hallows, and an army. Everything he needs to finally hunt down Gugu, and Yetsun... Yetsun closes his hand, watches the dark energy fade at his command, and smiles. Heipaoshir cuts the mask from his face, and Yetsun takes a breath, spins just in time to block a quick exchange of blows that leaves nothing but his hand and the dark energy it holds between his throat and Heipaoshir's sword, looks up. Behind his mask, Heipaoshir's eyes widen.
Didi,
he whispers, and lowers his sword. And can this really be? Guh, he whispers, and Heipaoshir's sword vanishes, and he reaches up to his mask. The hood and mask fall away, and it's him. It's Gugu. Yetsun has been searching for him for so long, and now he's here in front of him. Guh, he says again, and it's not an act, the way his eyes feel hot. He takes a deep breath against the surge of pure emotion thrumming through him. He's so close. He just needs to be patient. So when Gugu asks him if he's the leader of the rebels, Yetsun denies it, drops to his knees and takes his brother's hand, claims to have been controlled. And it's not all a lie. He'd seen Lao Bun use his power against others among the rebels, but against him... It's not like he would have needed to. Yetsun had been weak, easy to push around, before he gained his power. Before... I've been looking for you, he says to Gugu. And this, at least, is nothing but the truth. He ducks his head to take a shaky breath, tension all through him. Even his head is starting to hurt. Lets the tears in his eyes trickle down his cheeks. And Gugu. Gugu puts his hand on Yetsun's shoulder, fingers curling into Yetsun's cloak.
I'm sorry,
he says.
I'm so sorry, Didi.
And Yetsun has Gugu's left hand between both of his, and Gugu's right hand is on his shoulder. For him to summon Heipaoshir's sword now will take more time than Yetsun needs to strike. He takes a breath.
I thought you were dead,
Gugu says, and Yetsun lifts his head, leaning in. Gugu is crying, tears on his face, and how dare he cry when Yetsun was the one who was abandoned? How dare he cry when he was the one who decided Yetsun was worthless? How dare? How could I be? Yetsun says, clutching Gugu's hand. The one that's supposed to die is you. He lifts a hand, dark energy pouring from his palm. Gugu freezes, arms going slack, And just in time, the Haixingzhen general Lao Bun had boasted about killing is advancing fast, and Yitzun needs his other hand to block, hurling him away. He shoves Guga back with a blast of pure dark energy, throwing him stunned to the ground. He just needs to deal with the pitiful remnants of this raiding party, and then he and Guga can... The Yashou is easy enough to dispatch with another blast of dark energy. Yitzun doesn't have much finesse yet, but he doesn't need it, not with power thrumming through his veins. He turns back to Guga. Now it's now, and Yitzun smiles, finally. And then there's a ripple through the air, and he looks up. The hallows are rising into the air, and no, that's not... Yitzun needs them, needs their powers to add to his own, to ensure he can crush this faithless alliance under his heel. He stole them. They're his by right. Have the alliance figured out how to activate them? Surely not, when Yitzun hasn't been able to... The hallows tear the Haixingzhen general into nothingness. Guga crying out after him, Kunlun! The Haixingzhen general's name, like he's important, like it hurts. And of course, to Guga, others are more important than Yitzun, more important than his own brother. Doesn't Guga know? Doesn't he know that to Yitzun, others are mere dust in comparison? Doesn't he know? Yitzun has been wearing a mask since Guga abandoned him. Didn't want the reminder. Didn't want to see Guga's face every time he saw his reflection in the water. Faithless, oathbreaker, Guga. Yitzun didn't want to see his face, but he could never forget, could never allow anything else to surpass Guga in Yitzun's heart, in Yitzun's hate. He raises a hand. Something smothers him, and Yitzun can barely move, like a Dixingzhen power of gravity is holding him down. But there's nothing. No one. All of his Dixingzhen are dead, and He Paoshi has never been reported to have any gravity-related powers. No, this is something else. Must be. And Yitzun looks up, sees the hallows still circling the sky, sees Guga, arms raised against whatever force is holding Yitzun, reaches out. Guh! He shouts, everything in him stretching forward, straining as hard as he can towards Guga. Help me! And Guga... Guga doesn't even hesitate. Yitzun would have hesitated had their positions been reversed. He'd just attacked Guga, thrown him to the ground and threatened him, and still, Guga runs, reaching out, plants his feet and catches Yitzun's hand and pulls. Guga is grimacing, his entire weight braced as he hauls on Yitzun's arm, and Yitzun sets every scrap of power he has against the force binding him, head throbbing, tries to throw himself forward, push toward Guga. And something shatters. Guga is here. Guga is in his head. Guga is love and fear and hope and disbelief and I thought you were dead and I searched for so long and hold on, Didi. And Yitzun is shaking. He can't, He's shaking because the ground is shaking. It was the ground that shattered, footing unsteady and roiling, a localized earthquake, and Guga is screaming, hand clamped around his own, and Yitzhak remembers.
I only just found you again.
Guga is saying, pleading,
don't go, Didi, hold on, I have you, I...
And Yitzhak can feel Guga's desperation, but the force that holds him is so strong, and Yitzhak... Guga's hand clamps down around Yitzhak's wrist as he throws himself back, and Yitzhak can feel it. Feel him pit everything he has against Yitzhak's bonds as he brings the full might of Heipaoshir's power to bear. Feel it when their hands are torn apart as Guga reaches after him, hand closing on nothing. Feels the anguish cut through him, sharper than any blade. Yitzhak is helpless to resist as that force yanks him down, and Yitzhak falls.
Didi!
Guga sends grief and determination, and
no matter what you decide, never have regrets. Didi, I'm coming. I'll find you.
The fading echoes of his brother's love follow him into the dark. The end. I thought you were dead.
Wrong twin.
How could I be? Fuck. It's kid voice. When Yitzhak hasn't even been... Fuck. Gah! He shouts. Everything in him...
Probably blew out the mic, didn't it?
Gah!
Oh, that definitely did.
Gah!
Fuck.